Blog Talk Radio.
Coffee roaster and comes out handsome.
Ooh!
Careful, it's science.
Science was tricky.
Step two, percolator.
Say, how do you get the handsome from the bean?
Our world champion barista wrangles the handsomeness right out of the bean.
Wow, that's one hot brew.
Want a wrangle me too?
Step three, drip, drip, drippity, drippity, drip.
Finally, the most important part. Service with a smile and slurp up the handsome.
Heavenly, it's the second coming of coffee. Wow, this coffee's so handsome, even I'm attracted to it.
Is it me or the coffee that's so hot?
It's definitely the coffee.
Ah, nuts.
No, beans.
I love flicking beans.
Every cup starts right here in glamorous, sunny Los Angeles, Hollywoodland, California. Handsome coffee. They've got beans and brawn. Aw, heck, let's just sing about it.
Put some hot, handsome coffee to your lips. Get better looking with every sip. Try the most attractive coffee we've ever seen. It's the handsome roasted coffee bean.
It's the handsome roasted coffee bean. Hello, handsome.
Handsome coffee. Coffee made handsome.
Hello.
Warning, may cause sudden effects of handsomeness and good-lookingness.
Love the Apple Sisters. That's a spoof, people. That's a spoof. Okay, Betty Jo Tucker Movie Attic Headquarters every Tuesday at 4 p.m., except this week she'll be on Thursday, October 27th, featuring the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a great discussion. You want to be in on that since they just did a remake of it as well. Betty Jo Tucker, Movie Attic Headquarters, 4 p.m. this Thursday. Usually it's Tuesday at 4 p.m. Check her out. And now a little Nancy comedy. How about me?
Hi, Liz. I like Clark Kent sitting behind you. Thank you. A little Clark Kent action going on there. Friends in the corner. My friends at the high table up there. Yeah, how you doing? I like to see everybody. You know, it's so misleading. You can't see this, but turn around just for a second and look at that wall. This place looks so more crowded than for nothing. I'm like, God, I can't get that wall to laugh for nothing. Looking at me blankly. Like they're painted on or something. Oh, yeah, over here. Here we go. Is that a date I see happening back there? Yes. What date is this? You're married 33 years? And he still has his arm around you? Let's hear it! Oh my God! I spend most of my life going, get off me! Get off me! You're too close! You're breathing on me! You're using my air! That's my air! That's my air! And let's hear it! I want to, the ladies running the bar and doing everything there. Are they not also putting, like, just kind of showing everything together? Oh, look at you, little popcorn lady here. Popcorn lady. Now, I can't tell. Are you related or friends? A little combination of both. Oh, God. She's like the mafia down there. A little combination. Funny you should ask. Be careful on your way out tonight. You guys look like you're up to some fundraising or something, this table here. You guys, no? Nothing? Just fundraising, huh? Yeah, okay. We'll go over to the Mad Moose later and party down. What the heck? The name of the place is here. You turn a corner, there's a bar or a restaurant or something. You turn it, you gotta, it's a sharp turn, though. No parking. I guess in Binghamton, it's the tuck and roll premise of getting into the local establishment. Hey, we're there, tuck and roll. I'll be passing by later at 12. Run fast. Jump on the hood. Gosh, my way here, I drove in from New York City, and you know, it's a long way. Trying to entertain myself between my ears popping and not popping. And then I was playing a little fun game with myself, like, identify the species of roadkill, because you have so much on here. I swear, there were animals I couldn't even guess. I think it's either a beaver or a coyote beaver. I don't know, it's like twilight up here. And it's just a lot of animals, though. A lot of just, and they don't, you guys, like, I, you know what, I've seen you drive, so I know why there are a lot of animals. Now, I drive in New York City. I've never been so scared driving through a town here. I guess our laws don't apply to you. I'll just turn wherever I want. And I think I'll go on this thing, too. Oh, I'm going to go over here now. Okay. I think I'll cut off that other way. That's fine. You guys are dangerous, dangerous. Are you cute together? Yes, how many years? Uh-oh, sorry, 33, 53, boom! Moments in the air, everywhere, look around. Wow, that's nice, that's nice. Hi, look, he's a very quiet guy here. Are you together? Behind? Yeah, you're together? You're looking around the room, I guess not, okay. We're gonna go in, if she says we're together. Don't even go there. We're not together. I like this. You got a very sophisticated thing going on with the earrings, the little blazer. You know, so I'll be damned. It's going to be Broadway for me tonight when I go to the Binghamton. I've got to drive a long way for everything to get to everything, too. But I don't know. I just. Okay, raise your hand if you're in the witness protection program. Somebody raise their hand. Okay. Kind of dead. It's fun though. It's fun. I like checking out the new things. I went to the long dog. With a short walk. Lost dog. Okay, lost dog. Which, by the way, could have been the roadkill I saw coming in. Just saying. That was nice. That was nice. It sent right across the hotel. It's very nice. Everybody's so nice here. But I felt like I was getting jumped by the hotel staff. Everybody was trying to help me so much, and I was just trying to, I'm just trying to get my room. You don't have to help me. Please, stop. Stop. Help me. They were. It was very nice. It's a nice town. I like it, too. A very Aryan crowd. I didn't notice that. Oh, I'm sorry. Where are you from?
I'm from here.
You're from New York City? You're Jewish?
I just
Hey! We're all Mishpacha! And woo! This has been Ladies of
That was fun. All righty. I have to open up two chat rooms here because one of them's not opening. So bear with me here as I open up the studio again. Okay. All right. Shortly, we'll be having our caller call in and we'll do a little interview. Let's see. What's fun? I a lot of fun things going on. And remember, my CDs are available on CD Baby. Oh, since we're doing acting, we'll do. Afterbirth Monkeys, tribute to Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep is from the future. She has traveled back in time. She comes from a land where stars shine brighter, like Meryl shines in yours and mine.
Back in the future where Meryl's from, she's just an acting average Joe. But now that Meryl's here, there are no acting heights to which she can't go.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you but in the future, where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary people. Oh,
Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine. Back in the future when Meryl was in high school, when she couldn't get into her drama club, she flew to the physics lab with fervor and snapped upon her rubber gloves.
Using lots of scientific physics, magic, Meryl grasped the hands of time.
And she fell into a wormhole, and now she's doing fine.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of emotion. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else. So you turn back time to be among us ordinary mortals.
Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Everybody, listen up.
Listen up.
Remember to give Meryl all of the awards, the accreditations, the roles, the paychecks.
Accreditations!
Because if she is in the slightest bit displeased, she will once again rip back the fabric of space and time.
Time!
To the very
time.
Beginnings of humanity when we climbed out of the primordial ooze. And she will merely dip in one big fucking toe,
big toe,
making us all a little bit Meryl, and then she will become supreme overlord of us all.
Yeah.
Oh, Meryl Streep, you are a goddess of fucking everything. But in the future where you're from, you're just like everybody else.
Oh.
You don't turn back time and enslave all of humanity. Oh, Meryl Streep,
we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
Oh, Meryl Streep, we love you because you shine, shine, shine.
That was Afterbirth Monkey. We're waiting for our caller now. Let me just write her call. Okay, and see if she's there. Sometimes it gets a little jumpy there, and we'll just keep going till she calls in. Here's a very interesting thing about, and it has to do with acting. It's about teaching yourself to write by Helen Zweibel.
What I used to do was something that I made up myself. I knew that I wanted to write scripts one day.
Right.
So I used to wake up on a Monday morning, let's say, and go, all right, this week the subject will be buying a car.
Okay.
Monday I would write a monologue as if Jack Benny was delivering a monologue about buying a car.
Oh, how great.
Tuesday, as if Joan Rivers was delivering a monologue about driving a car. Wednesday, Rodney Dangerfield. Thursday, Richard Pryor. And Friday, Alan Kink, okay?
And this was when you were very young?
I was 21.
Right.
Okay. At the end of the week, I had five monologues about buying a car, but each one with a different sensibility.
Right.
Each one sounded different about the same subject because I knew I wanted to write scripts one day, and I didn't want everybody sounding the same.
Oh, how interesting.
So I try to train the ear that way. You know, TV shows, maybe more so today than it was when I was starting out, okay? They're very much star-driven, and a lot of these stars, and you go over the last 10, 15 years, beginning with, not beginning with, but including Gary Shandling and Tim Allen and Jerry Seinfeld and people who've got their own shows, you know, stand-ups, that shows were built around them and their persona. If a writer who's just starting out hangs out at the clubs, you know, and befriends somebody who makes them laugh and vice versa, you can start furnishing with material, and
right.
They can start developing a relationship, and everybody gets a turn, it seems. It seems like everybody gets a shot, and the hope would be is when the person you're writing with or writing for gets a shot, you go along for that ride, and you see how far it takes you.
Right.
You know, so that's still a very, very viable way to break in.
That was Alan Zweibel. I see we have Mary Lynn Henry on the line calling in. Her book, How to Be a Working Actor, The Bible of the Biz, celebrates its 30th anniversary. I'm going to open up her mic, and if she's listening, she can hear it. Here we go. Mary Lynn, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear
Hello?
You perfectly.
Can you hear me? Good. Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Very well. You project.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
all right. Well, congratulations.
Thank
on your
you.
Book, your 30th anniversary, 5 editions,
yes.
1986 to 2016. I read your
I know.
Book a while
oh,
back.
Thank you, Nance.
And it's so
you were
good.
Just
I
an ingenue. You were an ingenue then, Nancy.
Yes, still am. And anyway, it's a great book on how you want to be if you want to be a working actor. It's very practical. A lot of the business of acting that people don't take into consideration when going into the field. It's not just about being on stage. It's about knowing it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can elaborate just a little bit for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that's my favorite topic. I've been teaching many, many years in the city. And the thrust of my course, of course, is to inform young actors about how important it is to remember that this is a business first. I mean, I assume that everybody's in training and they've got craft and they're continuing their lessons and they want this as a career. But what a lot of these programs do is they don't inform them about how necessary it is to have a lot of money saved up in order to, you know, just for the sheer investment that you have to put in a career financially, and that they get out of these institutions and they don't know how to get a job. This is what I am trying and have been trying for 30 years with my co-author, Lynn Rogers, in 5 separate editions, and to let people know that this is a plan. This is like in a corporation when you have a strategic plan about how to make ends meet, what your budget is necessary to buy, and to keep current with trends. I mean, I think that's very important. And we used to put the tables in our books. We used to say, here's what you need for rent, here's what you need for if you're in L.A. driving a car, et cetera, the pictures, the resume printing, and so forth and so on. And then we thought, you know what, I don't think we need to do that anymore. I think people have common sense enough to know what they need in order to pursue this career. So business first.
Yes.
Does that help? Does that answer
basically
the question?
Yes, it does. I see the chat room is open. HectorLuis.com is in the chat room. He's an actor. Hector
Good.
Luis, welcome to the chat room. And the other thing is, too, as you said, people don't realize you are a franchise. You're just like a Subway or a Kentucky Fried Chicken, how you promote yourself, how you present yourself in every way. And that was the valuable portion of your class was how you present yourself, what colors you wear, how you walk into the room.
Yes. Are you still in jewel tones, Nancy?
I'm in jewel tones, yes. Jewel tones are me. I am sporty casual for the rest of my life. Inside joke, people, but it's yes. It's some of the things I learned about from Mary Jo. But I was also, when I met with Mary Jo, I was one of the few
but I'm not Mary Jo. I'm not Mary Jo.
Not
I'm Mary
Lynn.
Lynn.
Oh, sorry. Mary
it's
Lane,
a sensitive
sorry.
Sore spot with me, but I was just out to dinner with Mary Jo Slater the other night. You remember Mary
That's
Jo. She passed one life
about,
to
Mary
live.
Jo Slater.
We were always confused.
Yes, and her son is Christian Slater. But, yes, and it's very valuable with this. Where can they get this book?
Is that the question?
Yes.
Where can we get this book? I think the easiest mm-hmm. way to get books these days is to go to Amazon.com. And they're there also on Kindle. And if,
Kindle?
You know, they say, yeah, on Kindle. We've been Kindled a long time now. and it is the fifth edition. The fifth edition is important because there have been five, and the fifth has this very lovely burgundy-colored cover. Also, if they find that there's a short supply, I can always call the warehouse. But they can go to used books. You bought through Amazon, I'm sure. You can go to used books.
Oh, yeah, they know how to buy through Amazon.
And you can get them cheaper.
www.howtobeaworkingactor.com in case they wanted possibly to find out about your classes or where you'll be teaching next or more information that. And tell me a little bit about your co-author.
Lynn. Well, Lynn and I met a long time ago when I was still casting commercials years ago, and she used to come in for auditions being an actress. She had leads on several soap operas, and in 1985 we met up at lunch and decided this was a book that needed to be done. Her from the actress standpoint, me from the casting director standpoint, so we combined our resources and our knowledge. Lynn right now is 90 years old. She is semi-retired and not really writing anymore. So I'm carrying on. I'm the soldier. I'm the legacy lady. So
of course you are.
that's the story behind. Yeah.
Before you, I played a little bit of Alan Zweibel talking about how to write. So that was interesting, too, because there's so many aspects of it and not relying on sending it, just sending out your pictures. You really have to be, I find today myself, and I've been doing this a while, that I actually have to write shows and produce shows to showcase myself. I have a cable show. I have a radio show. So you actually have to produce yourself because they want to know, what are you in? And there are not that many showcases as there used to be.
No, there aren't. No, there aren't. And you know something? That's a great point, because we had Creating Your Own Vehicle as one of our chapters. We've always had that in our books. Because we know that, you know, you're not going to be steadily employed. And if you're not going to be steadily employed, then for heaven's sakes, find something that will, you know, bring you some attention creatively, and that is by writing a story. You know, I'm just reading the review on this. Is it Gethart who wrote something called Career Suicide? And he's getting rave reviews, and this is about his life, you know, his journey. And he's also a comedian. So there are ways that you can do something. There are schools that I know, New World School of the Arts in Miami. The seniors can't graduate before they write a 45-minute show about a topic. Usually there's a theme involved. But what it gives them is something to do in the downtime. Years ago, I'm a theater historian also, years ago, Ethel Barrymore, who was one of the great Barrymore actresses of the day, she'd have downtimes, and there was a one-act play called 12-Pound Look by J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan, and she would tour with it, and she would get a lot of money, you know, between engagements. You really have to think outside the box sometime and find something that will fulfill you creatively. Keep the juices flowing. And many times you can even, you know, even mentor people or start doing some one-on-one teaching or find a survival strategy that is also linked to your creative power.
That
and you have done that, Nancy. You have done that. I'm proud of you.
I am the epitome of doing that. I've written shows. This year I was in a theater festival. And I'm constantly, when they say what you're doing, I'm out there, I'm doing it. And I'm also a stand-up comedian as well, which I get paid for. But speaking of writing for themselves, Ruth Gordon, very famous actress who didn't win a Academy Award until she was 70s, I believe.
She was up there.
But she wrote a book based on her life of being an actress, and it was turned into a movie. And her and her husband, Garson Kanin, wrote, just went out of my head.
Adam's Rib.
Adam's Rib, and also, the Judy Holliday movie. I got to remember.
Born Yesterday.
Born yesterday. There you go. Great. And
you
so
know,
always
you know who,
ahead of
yes,
time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that Judy Holliday got the attention of Katharine Hepburn because she used to perform with Comden and Green, you know, in the clubs. Because she was such a unique, unique personality, and it was Katharine Hepburn who suggested
to Clark. She started out in the Catskills. She started out in the Catskills.
Oh, yes.
And she would just do props for Comden and Green.
Yeah.
And eventually they would put her in little things or whatever, just bits. And one day she was standing outside of the village gate, and it was raining. She went inside and saw they were doing readings and performances. And she goes, can anybody perform here? They go, well, yeah. She goes, I know some people. She brought them to the village gate. They ended up, long story short, being on, I believe it was Life magazine. And from there, that was it.
Well, this is it. You know, all these stories are out there.
The Reveilleers, I think, was the name of the group. The Reveilleers or something like that.
You've got a terrific amount of knowledge. I'm applauding you. There are a lot of people who don't know who Katharine Hepburn was. So, and forget Judy Holliday, who? You know, this is another thing I try to teach people. If you're going to be a part of this business of show, know who went before you. You know, I was teaching, and this young woman I thought was could have been Sarah Bernhardt. She was physically right, ethnically right, had red hair. I went over to her, and I said, have you ever thought about doing a show about Sarah Bernhardt? And she said, oh, I just love her comedy.
it's
she paused like
so
you.
True.
Oh, dear.
It's. I find this, it's happened to me in a couple instances when I was writing for a television show. I was the only woman writer with 13 men. And I asked them one day who their favorite old-time comedian was. Because every pitch they made, I would go, oh, that was great, but it was written by Durante. Oh, that was great, but that was written by, and so it was. And I'd go, well, who's your favorite old-time comedian? And they said, Steve Martin.
Oh, God.
And I said, that's just, they don't study. They don't know. Do your homework.
No, they don't know. Do your homework. I do a show. I didn't know if you knew this or not. I have put together, myself included, and four other wonderful actresses, a program called Stage Struck, which is about the lives of actresses of the past in their own words. That we will do, you know, we're looking always for venues to do it, but we've done it at the Snapple Theater. We've done it at the Metropolitan Playhouse downtown.
Nice.
We just did it at the Players in the end of April. I'm Clara Morris.
I know the Players. I performed there, too.
Okay, I'm
Who are you
Clara
playing?
Morris. I bet you don't know Clara Morris, the American Bernhardt.
Nope,
I bet you didn't because a lot of people don't. You're not alone. But this was a very prolific actress in the 19th century who wrote three volumes about her life on the stage, which I found in a book barn somewhere. And for 30 years, I've been reading up on Clara and trying to put something together. And the Stage Struck show gave me the opportunity because I did. We've all written 10-minute pieces about career highlights, obstacles, challenges, why did they want to become an actress, and also include the feminist side of it. These women were all for gender parity in the 19th century to the mid-20th. So, you know, it's already been done that way. But that's the angle we tried to approach as well. And honestly, this is such a heartwarming thing because we do Q&A after our program in character so that audience
that's
members
terrific.
Can ask us things. And then we have a interactive discussion with people. And Eartha Kitt and I, excuse me, not the real one, but the actress who plays her, have gone down to BMCC in Lower Manhattan. We've done it for a classroom of 25 people, you know, who have been so impressed. This is an area of their knowledge that is not been approached. And they just love hearing about it. There is room for this.
It's all new to them. And also, I just want to interrupt you briefly. I'm going to extend the show. So people in the chat room, if it goes off air, you can hear it after the show. It'll be the full show on. So we're going to extend the show by a few minutes.
Love that.
Gail Parento, there's a publicist on the line, Gail Parento. Good morning, Gail Parento.
Gail.
Thank
Gail's
you for tuning
a member
in.
Of the league. Gail's a member of the League of Professional Theater Women. Sure.
Yes. That's she's my publicist, too. She's
Lovely.
Wonderful. But
Lovely.
Anyway, I want to continue talking. So the people listening live, it's going to go off in a minute, 10 seconds. But It will remain on the air, the extended version. So listen there. Thank you, Hector Luis, for tuning in. Gail Parento and Hector.com. Everybody's fascinated, they say. Great info and stories, Mary.
Oh, honey, thank you. Hector Luis.
So he's saying great. He loves it. So continue. So we're extending the show a few more minutes.
Lovely.
But I want to continue on that about the doing your homework is more important. And, okay, again, say the name of the book.
How to Be a Working Actor, 5th edition.
On Amazon. You can get it there.
You can certainly.
You can also go
to
howtobeaworkingactor.com as well.
Yes, yes, yes. Amazon will have it. Yeah.
And it's so interesting that, you know, it's 30 years, but as much as things have changed technology-wise,
mm-hmm.
the basics have not changed.
No, they have not.
The basics of acting. And always be out there doing something. Always be out
That's
there working,
right.
doing something, writing something.
Right.
What's the latest theater? Taking a class, learning something. I feel is the most important. It doesn't
learning
have to
never,
always be about acting.
It never stops. It never stops. Education, education, education. A former casting director once said to me, when people ask, "Well, what should I do?" Keep going to classes. Keep learning. Keep getting involved in readings. Go to some of these places that need actors to read new plays. I mean, there are ways to find the work. Also, networking is very important.
Networking is very important. One of the top important things to do is networking. And that's why I tell actors who are beginning, do you have a business card? Forget the headshot. Do you have a business card? You
thank
have
you
to
for
have
asking.
A business card.
Well, I teach. I'm dean of students at the Tom Todorov Conservatory here in New York. This is our fourth year. I go with every ensemble that comes in. I'm the business lady. And so we talk about the promotional tools. We talk about impression management. For their showcase in the spring, I'm there when they do their run-through to be sure that they're in the right outfits. I've seen so many showcases for these colleges that come into town. I just saw one recently, and I was appalled because no one had advised these students on what to wear for their showcase. This is the first impression industry will get. And these guys hadn't given it a thought. They came out looking like they had slept in the clothing. I just call it fashion anarchy. So this is important.
You know that saying, Mary, dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Yeah. No,
and
but
I believe
right.
that to this day. They always dress for the job you want, not the one
you
have.
Well, that's right. That's right. But you know. This whole thing about packaging and marketing seems to slip by the wayside here. I mean, I can appreciate Shakespearean verse readings and dialects and fencing and all the great classes that people get in training programs. But when it comes right down to it, there's nobody there to give them help on the basics. And I used to do that years ago at Carnegie Mellon. Liz Orion and Don Marinelli would have me come out there and do a full day with the senior class before they came into town to do their showcase. I always had a ball there. They're lovely people, lovely faculty. But they were concerned about their students and how they presented themselves just physically and the clothing and all of that when the industry came. However, in the last few years, that has just fallen by the wayside because it really depends on who's in the department at the time.
Again, I can't stress enough that you have to do your homework. You have to know who the actors were. If someone wants to, if you have an older director, they're going to say, you know, I'm looking for this kind of a feel or that, and you don't know who it is. I tell you the most embarrassing. Go ahead.
No, I just have one quickie. I was casting years ago. Mary Jo Slater hired me to do some casting for The Grass Harp. They were doing a film version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so these young girls were coming in all the time. And the director's instruction to Mary Jo to tell me was they wanted somebody kind of nubile and sexy and flirty and that kind of quality. This young 19-year-old came into the room, and I said, you know, think Scarlett O'Hara. Pause, blank face. Gone with the Wind? Pause, blank face. Never heard of it. Never heard of never heard of Vivian. I mean, this got me. This is something that just absolutely. Well, the girl obviously did not get the role. You know, if you don't know,
oh,
you
no.
know, these kinds of characters that are legendary in a way and know how to take direction.
I had that experience in a stand-up comedy club where somebody came on stage and was doing jokes about the movie Castaway and the different parts of it. And I said, the way he was saying it, I go, I don't think he knows it's a book. And I asked him, I said, you know that's a book, right? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you know that's based on Robinson Crusoe. And he goes, no, it's a movie. And I said, you know this new movie with Chris Hemsworth that where he's chasing a whale? You know that's a book too. He goes, no, no, it's about a whale. I go, it's called Moby Dick. That was the name of the book. And I said, go back and demand your money back from whatever college you went to.
Oh, my God.
they stole from you.
Oh, I have this quick thing to say. I'm reading, because I own a lot of books, but Harold Clurman, who was one of the greatest directors and teachers ever in the history of, and married to Stella Adler at one point, founder of the group theater, he wrote a book called All People Are Famous. And he was then, this is 1971, he was a professor of theater at Hunter College. And he was complaining in this one chapter about the fact that the students who were theater majors that he was teaching did not know who Alfred Lunt was, had never read a play that was written before 1945.
Lunt and Fontaine.
Oh, my Lord, but that was, you know, and then they hadn't read the basic classic books and novels that so many movies have been based on. It's like you could say Importance of Being Earnest is a movie, and they won't know that it was a play first or who Oscar Wilde was. I mean, so it gets to be ridiculous. Yeah.
It is. It's totally. So this book, everyone, if you want to be an actor, thinking about it or want to improve your acting, How to Be a Working Actor, okay, by Mary Lynn Henry. And you can find it on Amazon. Go to www.howtobeaworkingactor.com. Do you have a separate one if they want to contact you? A separate website, or is this it?
They can contact me through that, or I can give you an email address if anybody's
interested. No, don't give me an email because that's online.
All right. There is a Facebook page. There is a page for How to Be a Working Actor.
All right. Terrific. I want to thank you for being a guest on today's show. Always fascinating.
Thank you. Stay in touch
and come back again. I have a feeling you might be contacted by another radio show that you would be very good for them to have on. I'm going to recommend you to them.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Henry. Have a great day, and thank you for this opportunity.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo. What a great interview that was today. All right, I'm going to end the show now. Have a good day.